I preached or failed to preach. I'm going to have to give an account of all, how I lived before the people, whether or not I lived what I preached. I'm going to have to give an account of that. Now, here's the deal. You're going to have to give an account of everything as well. The messages that you've heard, you're going to have to give an account of. And so this is why it's important for you to know that whoever ministers to you is preaching sound doctrine. That's your job. Our job, my job as a pastor is to preach sound doctrine. Your job as a member of the congregation, as opening yourself, making yourself vulnerable to somebody that is ministering to you, your job is to make certain that that individual is preaching reality, preaching truth, preaching according to the Word of God. That's your job. All right? So the Lord wants you to understand that and wants us to get a hold of that. So what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the importance of preaching sound doctrine. Now, a lot of times we preach things, and a lot of the things that we preach is not necessarily a doctrinal thing. They're according to the Scripture. And when I say doctrinal things, we preach the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of sanctification. We understand what those things are all about, and we need to have a clear understanding of what those things are all about, because what we do, we live according to what we have been taught. No matter where you are. Let's say, for instance, we've heard a lot in the news here of late about the Catholic Church, right? We heard a lot about what the priests have done and how they've done certain things to children and all these kind of things. It's horrible, isn't it? And it's not something that you want associated with the religious kinds of, with religion. All right? And so these people supposedly have the care of your soul, and they're taking advantage of people behind the scenes. All right? So that's one. So we see that, and we see that the way that the people have been taught in that particular group or religious branch or whatever you want to say, those individuals have been taught that you go to confession, that you go and you commit sin. You really can't help it. You can't keep from sinning more or less every day according to their doctrine. And then you go to the priest, and you make a confession, and then you get penance or whatever it is. I don't know all of the ins and outs, but I understand that they live according to that. Now, the way we live, the way we understand it is that we make a confession to God. I don't have to make it to another man. I make a confession to God. I come, we repent of our sins, and God comes, and He lives, and He reigns in our heart. He lives there, and He enables that power, the power of the Holy Ghost enables us. Now, I don't have to go to confession every Saturday or every Sunday or whenever. I can go to the Lord. There's a direct connection from me to God. So I live according to that. So you understand what I'm saying? Now, the people that are there under the guise of religion, there are the Taliban and those individuals that are over there, and they're strapping up bombs to themselves, and they're going in and they're blowing themselves up and blowing innocent people up because they believe that this is, they're killing the infidel and they're doing the work of God. This is their doctrine. This is what they believe, and they are living out their beliefs. So, you see, the reason I'm bringing those points out is because we need to understand why it is important for us to go by, have sound doctrine, that what we teach, what we see in the, live by, what we go by in the Scripture is according to the Scripture. What we are preached, what we allow somebody to preach to us is according to the Word of God. Because we're going to live by that, right? All right, so this is why it's important for us to understand. So I want to lay that foundation. I want you to pray for me and with me as I go into the Word of God here. Let's see. I want to start a scripture the Lord brought to my mind. I have it here. I want to find it here. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. It wasn't what I was going to start with, but I feel like that's what the Lord wants us to start with. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and let's just start at the first verse. I'm really wanting to get a hold of the third verse. Yes. Yes, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, this is Paul talking to Timothy, a young minister that's coming up. So he tells him, he said, all right, I charge thee before God, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a very serious charge. It's not just something simple. It's not just something that you can do if you want to do it. You don't have to do it if you don't want to do it. But he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word. Now, what it is? Preach my opinion? No. Preach what I think is the most popular thing that everybody wants to hear? No. It is preach the word of God. That is the only thing that's going to help us. It says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. There are going to be some time that the Lord is going to have to tell you to do something. You're going to have to be prepared to be able to minister to people when you're not, when you're least expecting it. All right? So preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. What does reproof mean? That means, you know, when we say to a child, when a child does something that they shouldn't do, and we tell them, no, you don't do that. No, no, you don't do that. All right? That's reproof, isn't it? We give them instruction. We give them correction. And do you know the Lord has every intention and every desire to give us, to reprove us. There are going to be some things that we do that we don't know that we necessarily shouldn't be doing. And the Lord's going to reprove us. There may be some things that the Lord, we've done. And the Lord says, you know what, I don't want you to do that anymore. We've got a bad feeling, or there's something that happens, and we have an understanding that the Lord is not pleased with what we did, how we said it, how we handled ourselves, how we refrained from doing a particular thing. The Lord reproves us, doesn't he? All right? So he said, preach the word. And so our responsibility is to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering. Now, what does he say this all longsuffering for? Because there are going to be some things that I'm going to preach about. There are going to be some things that we have to say that are going to be kind of difficult. You know, have you ever walked up to somebody and said, well, somebody really needs to tell them such and such, whatever it may be. And then you're thinking, well, but I know if I say such and such, it's going to hurt their feelings. And so we refrain from saying things because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Have you ever been in that situation? All of us have. And you know, and the reason we are like that is because we don't want anybody to hurt our feelings. Our feelings are very fragile, aren't they? And so there are some times that we can say some things that will hurt our feelings. But he says here, rebuke with all longsuffering. There are going to be some things that we have to say. Now, sometime the Lord has helped us to say it. I believe this helped us to say it in the right way. I believe the Lord would have, I believe this is one of the reasons that Jesus came down to get the feeling, to understand what men went through. I believe this is why the Lord allows us as ministers to go through things in our lives, and then we can tell other people how to do it with all longsuffering, because we knew that that was an infirmity in our own hearts. We knew that there was something about us that was difficult for us to get a hold of. So we don't walk up to you, grab you by the shoulder, and shake you and say, you better start doing such and such, or else. We don't say that, do we? We reprove and rebuke. And we say, you know, I want you to understand, I'm saying this in love. Have you ever walked up to somebody? I'm saying this because I love you, and I know it may not be what you want to hear, but will you consider such and such? Consider praying about such and such, because I know that the way you're going now, I've had to say that many, many times. The way you're going now, the Lord, it's not going to be good. So I want you to pray about changing directions and going in a different way. And then we give them time. We are long suffering with them because we understand that there have been things in our own lives that we didn't get done just like that. Our heart was there, our desire was there, but it seemed like there was something in us that just couldn't get to that point just yet. So we've got to be long-suffering. We've got to suffer long with someone else, all right? So we need to understand that, and we need to understand that there are going to be some things that we're going to rebuke, we're going to reprove, we're going to give instruction, all those things, but we have to do it with love, all right? Now, you can take something when somebody loves you. When they love you and they come up and hug you and say, you know what, I know this is going to hurt, but I want you to pray about such and such, as opposed to somebody sticking their finger in your face and telling you better do something. What do? We back up and we say, oh, you don't come at me like that. But we accept it when you have love. And so the Lord wants us to have love one toward another. All right, continue to read, please. With all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, so he's saying here, I want you to teach the people. I want you to teach them from my word. I want them to understand what my word says, all right? With all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, what does sound doctrine mean? Sound doctrine means that there's something that we can stand on, right? He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. All right, so what it says here is that their time is going to come that they do not want to, that people don't want to hear sound doctrine. Now, I want to read a doctrine. I'm going to read a definition of doctrine. It says a belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a church. So it's basically just teaching. It's a simplistic thing for us to get a hold of. Doctrine is teaching. And everything that we teach, no matter what it is, must be founded on the Word of God. You must be able to find the principle in the Word of God. If it is not the principle in the Word of God, then you're under no obligation to do it. No matter who says it, no matter Brother Darrell said, Brother so-and-so said, I don't care who says it, you don't have to do it. All right? It has to be founded on the Word of God. I don't have a heaven to take you to. And so what ultimately my job, my responsibility is to make certain that I'm getting it at the mouth of the Lord and I'm giving it to you. All right? All right, so it says here, with all, where were we? Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So, you know what? I read some time ago, years ago, there was I would read certain books and whatnot, and some of the books were on planting churches and whatnot, and I just kind of was curious about what other people were doing. And you know what I learned that a lot of people were doing? A lot of people were doing what they would do. They go out and they talk to people that were unchurched, and they were reaching out to these people that are unchurched. There's nothing wrong with that. And they basically to ask them why they didn't go to church and what they wanted in a church. And so people would tell them what they wanted in a church. And so they went and talked to hundreds of people. One of the churches I'm talking about is it was in Chicago. This was years ago, probably 15 years ago that I read the book. And it was one of the biggest churches in Chicago. All right, I won't even name it. But what they basically did, they went to the unchurched and they asked them basically what do you want in a church? And then they came back in and then they formed a church with those criteria. And they were they're still one of the largest churches, all right? Willow Creek. You want to do some research, you can do some research on it. Had some issues not too terribly long ago with their leading minister, but it's there. But anyway, so in essence, what those individuals did, pray for us, is decided what was best for them. And then they created a church based on that. All right? Now, do you suppose that that was sound? There are some things that I can preach on, and there are some things I don't have to preach on, and that will affect people coming to church. So there are three kinds of doctrines according to the Scripture. One doctrine is doctrine of demons. According to Scripture, doctrine of demons. Then there's one that says you teach for commandments the doctrines of men. Or teach for doctrines the commandment of men. So there's a doctrine of men. And then there's God's doctrine. All right? God's. Men. God's doctrine. What we want is God's doctrine. Right? We want that. That's all we want. But we have to understand that there are other kinds of doctrines as well. One of the things that, so when we look at this, what I just talked about is a doctrine of pragmatism. So if it works, then it's good. And it worked, and it got people in there, but did it save the people? Did it get them to a place from point A to point where they can go to heaven? I don't know. I'm not gonna claim that I looked all into that. But what I am going to say to us today is that we need to have a clear understanding that what's preached to you and what you live by is sound. Sound. All right? May the Lord help us. All right, so I want to go to 2 Peter, the second chapter. I want to start reading there. 2 Peter, the second chapter. I want to start reading at the first verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring them upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, one of the things that there are a few words in here that are very important for us to get a hold of. He said, but there shall be false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. It says, now, privily, private, withdrawn, in secret, belonging to or relating to a person in one's individual rather than official capacity. All right, so there is, what we're saying here is there are going to be false teachers. Now, one of the things that I've said, I've preached to a whole lot of people over the last 30 years. I've preached to a whole lot of people. And what I've learned in that is not everybody embraces, accepts it, and keeps it. All right? Not everybody does. As a matter of fact, I'm seeing a trend that is becoming fewer and fewer that embraces and keeps it. Because there's always something that you can compare it to. There's always something that's more what's happening today. What's happening in our society today is that people know what people want, right? And so, really, what people want, really, you come. Let's just talk plain here. Most people, when they come to a church, they want to hear good music, right? They want. And so, what is most people give them? They give them good music. And so if you're one of the big churches, we won't name them, if you're one of the big churches, let me tell you, one of the things that they have is a music ministry. And they have a music ministry, and they have somebody that can sing, and they have somebody that can play the organ, piano, drums, all those kinds of things, and that is what they concentrate on. So they have those kinds of things because that draws the people in, and once the people are in, then they can give them 15, 20, 30 minutes of a good sermon, of a motivational speech and whatnot, but people don't look at the doctrine. They look at the ministries. They look at all the ministries. They look at the ministries regarding, they've got a singles ministry. They've got a youth ministry. They've got all these ministries. I'm not against those ministries. But what I want us to understand, those ministries mean absolutely nothing if you don't have sound doctrine. All right? And what people are doing, they're gravitating to these things because what did the scripture say that we just read a little while ago? It said, having itching ears. Their ears are itching. So in other words, what is an itch? All of us have had to scratch. You know, when the winter comes around, I get really dry skin. So I itch all the time. And let me tell you, it's nice to scratch your leg and stop that itch, but at some point, you need to go to the source. What's the problem? The problem is dry skin. So you need to deal with the dry skin. You won't have the itch anymore. So what do? They have lust. They have things that they want to do. They have places they want to do. They have things that the Bible speaks against, and they want to do it anyway. And so they have someone that stands up and preaches to them and tells them, well, you know what? You got to sin more or less every day. The grace of God covers you. All these kinds of things. It's not sound doctrine. It's not what Jesus Christ came and died for. The Lord, the scripture says very plainly, ye shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. So what does the Lord want to do? The Lord, all of us have been sinners. There's not a person here that has not sinned at some point in their existence, right? And let me tell you, the Lord loves you. I don't care how much you've sinned, how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. The Lord came to save you. And He'll do it. Isn't that wonderful? All right, so somebody gets up and tells you, you know what, you can't live right. Just do the best that you can. Do it in moderation. Do it however you can. But the Lord understands the grace covers you. No, that ain't know what I wanted. You know, when I got saved, I wanted to stop living wrong. I didn't want to just live wrong and then go out there and do whatever I was doing and then the grace of God covers me. I didn't want it. There was something that I wanted a change in my spirit. I wanted there a change in my heart. I wanted God to come down in the midst and in me, and I wanted Him to give me the power not to do the things that I was doing. I didn't enjoy Him. You know, you'd enjoy it for a little while. Let me tell you. Oh, is there pleasure in sin? Of course there's pleasure in sin. People wouldn't do it if there wasn't a pleasure in it. But let me tell you, there's pleasure for just a moment. And then after that, you have the guilt. You have all of what you're feeling all, and you don't want to do it again. But then there's something in you that forces you to do it again. And that's something that's in you that forces you to do it again. It's what God came to take out. Jesus came to take out. He can take it out of you. I don't have to live like that anymore. You don't have to run around. You don't have to do those kinds of things. You can be delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can do it. You can be cleaned up. The Lord can do that for you. Isn't that wonderful? That's what He came to do. That's sound doctrine. That's what we need to hear. That's what we need, that Jesus Christ came to deliver me out of my sins, not save me while I'm still in them. When I'm going out on the clubs on Saturday night, then I'm getting up and I'm preaching. I'm having a little drink over on the side. Then I'm getting up and I'm singing in the choir. That ain't what Jesus died for. You're living with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and all these kind of things, and you're standing up directing the choir. You're not living right. You're not whatever. That's not what Jesus died for. That's not sound doctrine. That's not solid. Something that's solid. Something that I can stand on. Something that I don't have to waver about. I need that. That's what I wanted. I wanted something to change my life. I wanted something to change my heart. I wanted to be different. I didn't want to do what I used to do. And so now, how does it happen? Let me tell you, this is why it's important for us to have sound doctrine. When you come to a place like this and there, the preacher's up there and you know the preacher ain't living right because he's the one that squeezed you in the wrong place. This happens. Lord, I know I'm being kind of plain, but it happens. And he up there preaching, what can he say to me? What can he say to me? What can he say to a young man that's struggling? What with some addiction or some sexual addiction? I'm sorry I have to be so plain. What can he say to somebody when he's struggling with the same thing and the Lord hadn't delivered him? What can he say? His doctrine is not sound. Well, it's the grace of God. Just go with the grace of God. God's going to bless you. He's going to help you. It ain't much you can do about it. Oh, yes, it is. Jesus came to deliver us. That's sound. That's solid. I can stand on that. The faith of God, what Jesus did, I can stand on it and I don't have to move. That's wonderful, isn't it? Sound, something that's not flimsy, something that's not going to, when I stand on it, it's not going to sink. Soundness of doctrine. So there's a doctrine of salvation, a doctrine of holiness, a doctrine of saying, listen, God gives me the power to live a righteous and a holy life, not just the grace of God covers. Let me tell you what grace is. Grace is authority. You know what the scripture says? Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may be able to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You remember when Esther came to the king? She came to the king and he held out his scepter and she found grace in the eyes of the king. Let me tell you, you know why he found grace? Because he has authority. So there is authority in grace. The throne. Anytime you see something that has a throne on it, then what happens is that throne is authority. So that gives us authority over the devil. Authority over our flesh. Authority over everything that's unlike God. And so when I come boldly to the throne of grace, it's not just, well, Lord, cover the sin that I committed yesterday. It is, Lord, give me the power, hold out your scepter, and give me the power not to do it anymore. And the Lord gives you power not to do it anymore. Because I come boldly. You don't have to be tentative. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and the Lord can deliver you. Isn't that wonderful? Now that's the gospel. That's the gospel message. The gospel message is delivered. He came to what? Set the captive free. If I'm bound by habits, if I'm bound by whatever they are, it doesn't matter what I'm bound by. It doesn't matter what you're bound by. The Lord came to set you free. Isn't that wonderful? Not let you, well, you're still in prison. You bless your heart. You can't do nothing about that. No, yes, you can. Jesus can. Isn't that wonderful? That's sound. Sound doctrine. Thank the Lord. All right. Okay. But there should be false prophets also among the people. Even there should be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now, I want to deal with that for a moment here. It says privily. Privily. So that basically means in private. So most of the people, we're not going to let people stand up and preach to us something wrong. Because most of us have an understanding of what's wrong and what's right. Even if we don't have a clear understanding, we have somewhat of an understanding, right? But what happens to people that come in, hey, can I take you out to dinner? Yeah, I'll take me out to dinner. And then while they take out, there's something that the Lord's been showing me and opening up my understanding on. I just wanted to share it with you. Do you mind if I come over to your place? Yeah. No, come on over. And you're opening up to these individuals, and they're privily bringing in damnable heresy. They're bringing in something that is not a sound doctrine, something that's a little bit different than what you've heard before. And it's like the Lord has really opened up my understanding on this. And, you know, it's nothing wrong with talking about spiritual things. It's nothing wrong with that. All right, but there are some people that are kind of underhanded. And they come bring in these different ways of looking at it. And then I remember I've had this down the since 1989, I've had to deal with this. And there have been, one of the things that I understand from the standpoint of a pastor's responsibility is to protect the flock. And so I've had many private conversations with many people that ultimately left. And you know why they ultimately left? Because you never, because I would not allow them to present their positions to the congregation. And when they did it in private, I pulled them by the coattail and said, no, you can't do that. Now, is that brother, or is man rule? Brother Darrell is, no, I'm a shepherd. My job is a shepherd. My job is there something that's, if the wolf is coming in sheep's clothing, the wolf is coming in sheep's clothing, my job is to stop the wolf. My job is to protect the sheep. And so I've seen it happen in many, many instances where people want to get together and they want to talk privately about some spiritual matters. And I had to, I've had to tell them, no, you're not going to talk about spiritual matters. Talk about the weather. Talk about a whole lot of things. And if we're going to talk about spiritual matters, particularly because I can see, I've seen people. Have you ever seen a truck that's gotten hit, and it or a car that's been in an accident and is going down the road straight, but it's kind of crooked like this? You ever seen that? That's how some people are. In a spiritual sense, they're going the right way now, but it's just something not quite right. You don't quite know what it is. You're kind of thinking, I don't quite know what it is. If you get that feeling, I don't care who you get it from. If you get that feeling, don't ignore it. If there's something that somebody is saying to you that's not quite right, and let me tell you what tends to happen when people backslide. Remember, Brother Daniels, how he would say that? He said people backslide in groups. And he's right. I never really thought about it until he said it. But what happens is we get together, and generally it's a family. If as a head of the family, if the head of the family or the spiritual head, it doesn't necessarily have to be the head, but if the spiritual head of the family backslides, the family generally goes with them. Lord, have mercy on us. This is why it's important for us to have sound doctrine. This is why it's important for you, men, particularly the men that are in your families, be the spiritual head. You be the spiritual head. That's what God made us to be. And you keep your family on the straight and narrow. You keep them doing and being what the Lord would have them to be. Because they're following. Junior's looking at you. Junior's watching what you're doing. How's Daddy handling this? How's Mama handling this? They're watching you, and then they're going to go in the direction. What I've seen in life in general is that people tend to go, the next generation tends to go a little farther than the previous generation. So we've got to be careful about that. All right, so they're going to bring in damnable heresies. And it says here, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious means harmful, having a harmful effect, especially in a gradual or subtle way. Harmful and damaging. So in other words, it's not going to happen all of a sudden. I've watched this too. You know how long it takes a person to backslide generally that have had a good solid footing? About 3 years. This is not an official number. It's not an official number. It's my number. You can dispute it, and I'd have to submit to that, because I have no scientific or spiritual evidence other than I have the Spirit of the Lord that tells me that. In 7 years after that happened, it happens incrementally. They've listened to something. They've accepted something. They've embraced it in their heart, and it's a little bit different. And they are looking at it, and there's a question. Let me tell you, there's something about this little question mark. Anytime you put a question mark in something, you're trying to find, there's something about us. Our minds are like Google, right? And it tries to find the answer to that. So, well, why? Why do we got to do that? Why? And then if you don't find an answer that's satisfactory, even though somebody might tell you what it is, if you don't find an answer that's satisfactory to you, you move a little bit away from that. Now, ever so slightly, I'm still good. But then there's something else. But when you get in this, see, because from this angle, things are different than from this angle, right? When you're looking at it from a certain perspective, it's just natural. What you see is different than what I see. All right? And so if you just moved over here just a little bit and you turn your head just a little bit, what you see and what you're focusing on is completely different than this angle. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm trying to bring out a point here. So the point is that now that you've moved over here, you see things a little bit different. All right? And let me tell you, I've told you this story before. All of you know that I'm blind in one eye, right? At one time, I could see out of both eyes. Now I can't. I can only see. I can see 20/20 vision if I put on my glasses. But let me tell you what I do know. I do know, because I was 20-something years old when I had the accident and I lost sight in my eye. What I do know is I don't see things the way that I used to see them. I don't see them. It's impossible. There's something about the peripheral vision. I can't see this finger. I can see this one over here just fine, just by looking straight. I can see it in my peripheral vision. I can't see this one right here. I can't see it here. It's about right here before I can see it. So all of that is missing. And so something has happened to me. An injury. Something that hurt me. greatly. And now as a result of that hurt, I don't see things like I used to see them. How do I know I don't see them like I used to see them? Because I remember how I used to see them. I don't see depth of perception. I can't look at something and see a depth of perception like you can. And so when I get hurt, when there's something that happens to us in our, maybe in the church, somebody didn't speak to me, somebody didn't say it, the preacher did something, he said something he didn't, shouldn't have said, he was preaching at me in the pulpit, or whatever, and you get hurt, you're going to see things a little different. You're going to be blinded. The devil is going to blind your minds and blind your eyes and make you see things differently than the way you really should see them. Now, who's right? Who's right about what they see? Am I right about what I see? Even though you can tell me, oh, Brother Darrell, what color is this? This is yellow or gold or whatever. I can tell you everything that you see. But I can't tell you the depth of it. And this is where people go wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know the depth. There's a deeper depth to whatever it is that I'm dealing with that I don't have the ability to do because of an injury that I had 30 years ago. We need to be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? There are some things that have hurt me down through the years, and as a result of the hurt that I've had, I don't see things the way that I should see them. But it doesn't mean that you see them wrong. Right? Because chances are you see them much better and much clearer and much with a deeper understanding than I do because I've been hurt. And this is what happens to us in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense, we need to understand, Lord, give me the soundness of mind. Give me a soundness of doctrine. Give me a soundness of the way that I see things. I want to see them right. And when you show them to me right, Lord, I'm going to hold on to them. I'm not going to say, you can come up to me and say, oh, no, that's not the way I see it. What difference does it make the way you see it? Who are you? You're not God. What matters is how does God see it? Now, I can look at it and I can see it how God sees it. All right? So, many shall follow their pernicious way. So, they're going to be, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. All right? So, people are going to say that. People are going to say, how many times have we heard people say something about this or that, the truth or the church or whatnot? We got to be very careful about that, don't we? We got to be careful that we don't listen to that. I'm going to read another scripture. Deuteronomy is the 13th chapter. I want to read, start at the first verse. We're going to read down to the 10th verse. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. No, Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. Yes. Prophet or a dreamer of dreams. He gives you a sign or a wonder. Sign of the wonder come to pass. Wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. So this is a person that has spoken unto you as a dreamer or a prophet. And what did we just say on that scripture that we just read? He said, there shall be false prophets, false teachers. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass. Oh, it happened. So that means that this must be Bishop so-and-so. This must be a prophet so-and-so. All right? And it come to pass, where they spake unto you, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you. Now, who is he doing? He's saying, the Lord has proven you. He said, if this prophet or dreamer of dreams say that this particular thing and it happens and you have proof that it happens, it doesn't mean that you should follow it. He said, and he tells you to go and he calls you to the side and tells you to go and let's talk about following other gods. What kind of gods are you talking about? Read. Lord, your God proveth you whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So sometimes the Lord proves you. The Lord allows these things to happen to you to see, for him to see where you are and for you to see where you are. So will I be pulled away by what somebody else is doing and what somebody else is saying? All right? Read. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Pretty harsh, doesn't it? Isn't it? Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the bondage, thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commandeth thee to walk in, so shall thou put the evil away from the midst of you. All right. Now, this is a prophet or a dreamer of dreams. These are somebody that don't live with you. Here, it gets a little closer. Read verse 6. Thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the end, other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thou I pity him, neither shalt thou spare him, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Oh, hold on here. That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? It's not, it's your friend, your daughter, your son. You mean, now, this is Old Testament. We understand that. But in the New Testament, the whole point is we're not going to conceal. We're not going to consent. He says, kill. We're going to stop that in its tracks. We're going to stop it dead in its tracks, right where it is. That's our job. That's our responsibility. And so here he's saying, if they come and they privately, so this is why when we say people, families backslide together, because we'll be sitting around the dinner table, well, Dad, what do you think about so-and-so and so? Well, I always had a question about that. Well, you, let me tell you, we've seen people that we never thought it would happen to, and it's happening. It's happened and will happen. Let me tell you, you're not exempt from it either. I'm not either. Unless you're very careful to maintain sound doctrine. Let me tell you, I want to do this because I want to do what I want to do. No, it's not about what you want to do. I want to go to heaven. And when you want to go to heaven, you'll do whatever it takes to get there. Doesn't matter what it takes. And so here it is. He said, I'm not going to conceal it. My brother, my sister, it doesn't matter who's coming with some kind of false teaching or false doctrine. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter how much I love them. If Brother Darrell, your pastor, starts preaching something that the Bible does not teach, you stop him dead and you all get together, have a board meeting, and say, Brother Darrell, we don't want you as the pastor anymore. Amen. You can say amen to that. I mean it. Lord, help us. We've got to make it to heaven. We've got to do whatever it takes to get there. And so what he said, we're not going to conceal. Well, sure, is this what you're talking about? Let's get an understanding. With all that getting, get an understanding. And I've been in situations like that. I've been in situations where, first of all, I had somebody say to me that they felt like that they could just commit adultery, literally, and still be saved. So in other words, he can go and actually have an affair and still be saved. Because, you know why? Because of the grace of God. Because the grace of God covers him. So I thought, okay, let me make sure I understand this. I want you to understand what I said. So you're meaning if you don't have the understanding. Now, if I believe a person, the Lord, if a person doesn't have understanding, the Lord, even though it's wrong, the Lord doesn't charge it to him. You understand what I'm saying? So it's wrong. It's a wrong thing. It's sin. But that person had no understanding that it was wrong. And they went out and committed something that they did not know was wrong. The Lord's not going to cut them off. The Lord's going to deal with them. He's going to work with them. And when they willfully, it's called willful. When you make a willful choice to go in opposition of the Lord, then the Lord cuts you off. All right? Not just, so we want to make certain that understanding this person says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I believe that you can go and do it. I know better, and the grace of God covers me. They were searching about the grace of God. I said, oh, no, that's not how that works. So I talked to him. Do you think it helped? Not very much, because it was something they wanted to do. Got to be careful what we're opening ourselves up to, what we are embracing, what doctrine we are listening to. Is it sound? Is it something solid? Is it something that'll take us through? Is it something that'll get us through to heaven? I want a solid foundation, don't you? May the Lord help us. So we can't conceal it. May the Lord help us in that. There's a lot more here to this, but I think maybe this is probably enough for us to do. Let's go to Romans, the 16th chapter, 17th verse. Read it, please. Romans 16, verse 17. Yes.
Mark them that cause divisions.
And offenses contrary to the doctrine.
Which ye have learned.
And avoid. Now, you know what? Here Paul and all of the apostles that were teaching it, because what was happening during the early morning church is the same thing that's happening now. There was a doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of God that was taught. And then any time that there is a doctrine of God that's taught, the devil is going to try to come in there and he's going to try to corrupt it and pollute it with the doctrines of men or the doctrines of the devils. All right? And one of scripture in Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, I think, where it speaks about the fourth chapter. Spirit speaks especially that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So let me tell you, you know what seduction is? Seduction is when there is a weakness that you have, and maybe a natural weakness. There's a natural attraction that a man has to a woman, and vice versa. And we generally look at seduction from that standpoint. And if you listen to the devil is going to seduce you to do something that you've been wanting to do all along anyway. And if you don't resist that temptation and you don't push it away, he's going to draw you in. I've seen it happen. I've seen people that they've been drawn into various doctrines that are wrong. They're doctrines that are not right. And as a result of that, there are a lot of folks that have been drawn in because they were sympathetic to various doctrines. The doctrine they were sympathetic to was the doctrine of speaking in tongues and whatnot. And I saw it trip up a whole lot of people. Simply because I don't know. You know, I'm one of those individuals that I tend to suspend my judgment until I look at it. I can look at something, I can say, okay, I'm not going to make a judgment on this until I've looked at all the facts. When I looked at all the facts of what God requires and God desires of us, then what I saw what people were going off on was not right. And so I needed something sound. I needed something that I could stand on. I didn't want something that was going to fall up under me. And let me tell you what I've learned about the people that have not, that have chosen various ways. I don't see any of them that are better off. And I've looked. I've done my little research. None of them are more spiritual. So here's what my point is. Sound doctrine. Sound. Something that cannot be gainsaid. Something that people cannot come up against. And holiness, righteousness. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is what the whole gospel is based on. When somebody comes up to you and they try to teach you, you look at the Word of God. As I've said here, even as I'm reading, as I'm preaching, you write those scriptures down. You understand what I'm saying. You have it for yourself. Because you know what? I'm not going to be around all. Well, I have complete confidence in Brother Darrell. Let me tell you, what tends to happen with people is we tend to become vulnerable when it comes to, we won't just let anybody pull our teeth, will we? Somebody just walk over here and some dentist over and he's got it working out of his garage. You're going to let somebody do surgery on you and they're working out of their garage? No. But you know what? So we want to make certain we look at all on the wall and we do a little research on that person before they touch our mouth or our bodies or whatever it is. We do some research on it. But you know, when it comes to spiritual matters, we don't do that. We just let whatever will be. Well, he say he's a man of God. Well, you better make sure he is. And listen, you better make sure I am. The Spirit of God in you should witness with the Spirit of God in me. And if it doesn't witness and there's something that's not quite right, let me tell you, you better listen to it. Either it's something wrong with you or something wrong with me. Or something wrong with the person that's preaching to you. So may the Lord help you. You get that right with the Lord. You get right with the Lord, number one. The most important thing in anybody, in reading the Bible or anything, is the condition of the heart. It's not how many initials I got behind my name. Not whether or not they call me reverend or pastor or doctor or bishop or whatever. None of that matters. What matters is whether or not I've got a relationship with the Lord and whether or not you have a relationship with the Lord. You need to know that by this word. You look at the word. You follow what the word says. You know in your heart that that brother, that sister, whoever is ministering to me has the power of God in their lives. They're able to live a righteous and a holy life. They're not just up there saying, don't do as I say, don't do as I do, do as I say. No, if I'm not doing it, if you're not doing it, I don't want to hear what you have to say. If you're not living right, living a holy life, how are you going to tell me how to do it? If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, how are you going to tell me how to do it? If you don't know trigonometry, you can't teach it to me. Right? It's the same thing about the things of God. If you don't know the things of God, you can't teach it to me. If I don't know Spanish, I can't teach you Spanish. If I don't know God, I can't teach you about Him. Does that make sense? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Sound doctrine. Pray for me. There are a number. Maybe someone that has a desire to pray, come forward to the altar. There'll be someone to pray with you. Only one narrow way. Yeah, that's a good one.